Like, we're losing all the mascots to the sports teams. You know, we lost the Redskins, you know, Yeah, this year we lost the Indians. What's the Indians' new mascot? Does anybody know? The Guardians. Cleveland Guardians? Y'all know what a guardian is? A guy that says, be home by 10 p.m. and you go, shut up, you're not my real dad. Who are y'all playing? The Cincinnati Stepdads? Who are y'all playing? The Guardians? Nobody's scared of that. You know what I'm saying? No, if you ever watch baseball, they hit a home run, there's no one in the stadium. There's no one in there because no one cares about baseball. I'm saying, spice it up, you know? The Rangers? No one's scared of the Rangers. You know what a Ranger is? The guy says, when you're done camping, throw away your trash. That's a... You're not scared of it. I'm just saying, spice up the names. You know what I'm saying? If you were watching a baseball game tomorrow and you're like, tonight's rubber match is the Miami Cubans versus the Texas Border Patrol agents. Don't tell me you wouldn't watch the Virginia Vegans play the St. Louis Slaughterhouse employees.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Ginnis, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
Oh, new, I don't know, I don't think new comic, but new to me, popped up on my, whatever you call it, my For You page or whatever.
Like, we're losing all the mascots to the sports teams. You know,
we replay it. John Crist, ever heard of him?
No.
The clips that have come across my, my view and pleasure have been fucking hilarious. Mm. And he's got a, I don't know what it's on, but he's got a special out. It's called John Crist Would Like to Release a Statement. Just came out May 23rd. I'm not sure what it's on, if it's on Netflix or anything like that, but,
I'm gonna have to find that one.
It's fucking funny, man. There was this bit, and what was the other one I was fucking watching that made me just crack up fucking laughing? Oh, white people solving racism. That was another funny bit that I saw. Yeah. So I thought, yeah, something different, something new. We'd throw it up there. So
it's always fun to find new comedians, and I think it's hard once you start doing comedy to like find those new comedians because you look at comedy, at least for me anyway, I look at different than I used to.
I don't. My opinion of comedy has never changed. Funny is funny to me.
I think my idea of funny has changed. It's like we've talked about before, where like some comedians that I loved before, now I'm looking for more like substance in their bits, and some of them I'm just not seeing it anymore.
Yeah, but why ruin it for yourself that way?
I don't know. It's just the way my brain works.
It's just like fucking... And I get that. My brain works that way in certain aspects of life, but entertainment, that's all. I just want to be entertained. Yeah. I don't want to break down and nitpick and see how the sausage is made, so to speak. Like
you don't want to be like a Danny when he watches a movie.
Yeah. Like, I know the process of comedy. I know the writing, and I know what jokes are raveled in truth and what jokes are complete bullshit. You know, I know all that stuff, but I don't allow myself to think that. It's no different than drugs, right? When I do a drug, and I don't give a fuck if it's just alcohol or fucking ecstasy, I'm going to let that drug take me where the fuck it was invented to take me.
Nah.
Like I don't understand people that, you know, if you smoke a bunch of pot but try to fight your hunger and sleepiness feelings, then what the fuck was the point of taking the pot?
Yeah.
Fuck, I sound like a grandpa.
I was gonna make the comment of like, yeah, where are you taking it?
You know, if you're drinking. Right. Now, don't get me wrong. on a hot day barbecue and a beer tastes wonderful.
It does.
That I don't consider drinking. You know, and even for people like you that don't drink beer per se, right? But I bet you that Mike's Hard Lemonade on a hot day, either mowing the yard, barbecuing, whatever the fuck you're doing, just one hits the spot. You don't have to drink to get drunk.
No, no.
But when I start pouring that bot, those don't taste good enough to me to just be like, oh, I'm a social Jack and Coke drinker. Like, no, I'm a fucking forget the night Jack and Coke drinker.
That's what's in the cup.
That doesn't surprise me.
I am definitely a social Jack and Coke drinker. I because you know I don't like beer. I'm not a big beer drinker, and the only reason normally, like when we like come over to your house, I bring, you know, like the Mike's Hard Lemonade or something like that, because it's something that Amber would drink too, and that way I can drink 7 or 8 of those and be okay.
Yeah.
You know, where if I come over and you've seen it, where I've come over and been like, okay, I'm bringing the Jack. I mean, 3 hours in, I'm like stupid fucking like. Tosh wants to kick me in the balls fucking drunk.
Now, I've never, I've gotten better at social drinking because there was no such thing for a long time.
No.
I drank every night to blackout.
Yeah.
It's just what I did.
And we had a lot of your parties at your house where both of us were, you know. Yeah.
And
woke up the next morning with our wives going, do you remember what you did last night? No, and I'm hoping at this point I don't want to. I mean.
And I'm hoping you don't either.
I don't think I want to at this point.
But I still drink to get that buzz.
Yeah.
You know, now I haven't drank in a while to get obnoxiously hammered. So I've gotten better in that regard, but I still let the alcohol do its job. Like, it doesn't taste good enough to just be like, oh, I'm just going to have one a night. Like, it calms my nerves. I don't want alcohol to calm my nerves. I want alcohol to unleash that 10% that I hold in on a sober basis.
And see, that's me. Like, when I go to the comedy shows, I'll have one or two Jack and Cokes, and that's really it. Just enough to kind of, you know, loosen up a little bit. So I'm going to get rid of the nerves a bit, but I'm not like when we first started going, I mean, I would drink to like Amber had to go with me just so she could fucking drive me home.
Oh yeah. I was there. I was there side by side drinking with you.
Yeah, I know. That's why Tosh and Amber were at most of our shows. Well, at least one or both were at the shows just so they could drive us home. But now I'll have one or two just enough to loosen up a little bit and go. But I think it's just one of those things. We change a little bit as we get older, I guess.
No, I think Tosh was there because
she enjoyed it.
We actually talked about this. I think it was yesterday. It was brought up that I'm not on my own. That's how it came up. So I'm going to California. Good segue right there, right? The week of June 12th, no show. I'll be in L.A. all week. I think I fly out at like 6 a.m. Monday morning, unless we record Sunday or something and then program it to release. But tentatively no show, and if there is no show, this is why. But I said something about, or she said something about, I want to do that with you. And I'm like, you want to do everything. Like, I don't, like, you get girls' nights, you go here. I said, I don't go to guys' night because I know you want to go. I don't, you know. I don't do any of that type of stuff. And she's like, well, you got to go to California. I'm like, I'm going for work. She's like, yeah, but you get to have fun. I'm like, here's my schedule. I'm scheduled from 7 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night, and we are not allowed to rent a car. So.
You can't rent a car?
No, I'm going for training.
Ooh.
So. Really, we're at the hotel. A bus picks us up and takes us to headquarters to sit in a classroom all day. So, yeah, no car rentals were allowed on this trip. And she's like, well, the last time you went down, you went out to dinner. Yeah, it's one of the essential three meals of the day. Like, we went to dinner. You know.
I could see that.
Oh.
Yeah. See, and Amber's one of those ones because, I mean, you've known this for years. Amber is not one to want to go out. So she just doesn't want to. So sometimes if I want to have fun, I have to go out by myself.
Yeah.
Because if Amber had her way, we would sit here and stare at the fucking TV every night.
Yeah, that'd probably be my way, too.
So it's like, if I want to, it's like, you know, and I invite her every time. It's like, do you want to go? Nope. Okay, cool. You know, so it's not like I'm just like, no, fuck you. I'm going to comedy, you know.
Yeah. Now, the comedy-wise, right, she was always real supportive. I mean,
always.
We lost our fucking house in the process of me doing comedy.
Yes.
So, yeah, no, that was, comedy was just a support thing, but I was going off in generalities here.
Oh, no, I mean, I know what you mean, but yeah, it was just one of those things, like, if I go out and do things, it's one of those she doesn't want to go. Like, if I said, hey, me and Matt and everyone are going out for golf, she'd be like, cool, have fun, I'm going to do this. Because, like, when I go do my workouts and stuff, she's like, cool, I'll do this at the house. Have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think maybe it came up. I said something about, oh, because there's no Father's Day beer festival this year.
Oh, that's dumb.
I guess they ran out of money. Can't afford to put it on. And so I was like, well, there's this festival coming up in Vegas, and you can send me there. She's like, but I want to go. it's my Father's Day present. Now, I know I'm not going to get it. It's $500, but...
Yeah.
But,
I mean, hey, it's worth a shot.
I mean, and it would be $1,000 if we both went. But listen to this fucking lineup. This fucking lineup. We got the headliners are Green Day, Blink-182. We have 30 Seconds to Mars, The Offspring, Good Charlotte, 5 Seconds to Summer. I'm just going to read some of the ones I know real well. Rise Against, Thrice, Pierce of Evil, or Pierce the Veil, sorry. Gym Class Heroes, Michelle Branch, Yellow Card, MXPX, Saves the Day, Sum 41, Finch, Lesson Jake, Bowling for Soup, Goldfinger, The Ataris, Plain White Tees, Simple Plan, Newfound Glory, The Veronicas, let me see, Lit, Zebrahead, No Pressure, Knuckle Puck, and then there's a bunch of other ones, but those are the ones I know.
That's a pretty good friggin' lineup.
It's almost Warped Tour-ish.
That's insane.
Yeah, and the tickets are cheaper than that, but all the single day tickets are sold out. But you can get the VIP or whatever they want to call it, and you get both days at the show. You get the night before at the pre parties with all the bands and shit, and you get all the club access to the after parties and the hotel. So then all you're on the hook for is your airfare to Vegas.
Well, that's not bad. But, I mean, still, I mean, airfare to Vegas can be kind of spendy.
Well, depending. Let's see. That's October 21st. Let's just see what Seattle to Vegas flight. And then let's put in... Where's October at? It's after this month. There you go. October 21. Yes. So we'll put in the 20th through the 23rd for the 4 days. Round trip. Now it's on Spirit Airlines. Nonstop round trip, $198. Or $249 on Alaska.
I mean, that's for the 4 round trip?
That's the round trip.
Wow.
So not
that's not bad.
Too terribly bad.
No, not bad really at all.
But like I said, I know I'm not getting it, but I brought it up.
I mean, it would be nice, but I mean, yeah, no.
So we got talking over the weekend, me and my brother-in-law, about all the past shows we've been to and shit, as we're, you know, we're 20 minutes from the gorge where we camped at over the weekend.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how shitty the Gorge concert series has gotten. you know, and we were talking about past shows that we went to there and the different Warped Tours I saw there and the Ozfest I saw there and, you know, things like that. Fucking Jimmy Buffett I saw there.
It was the premier place to go to in this area.
Yeah.
But now, like, White River, I mean, more people would rather go to White River because they don't have to drive as far.
So I never once, and it wasn't in my nature, and I don't think it would be today at 44 years old. I would not, so if the show was on Saturday, I would not get up Saturday morning, drive 2 hours out there, catch the show, sit in the hot basking sun, catch the show, chances are have a few adult beverages, and then get back in the car and drive home.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's not what the Gorge was about.
Yeah. No, you had to go over, like, usually the night, even if you went over the day of, you would stay that night afterwards in the, you know, and go party in.
No, I've done that. Like, get up at 7 a.m., drive out, pitch your tent, get everything, you know, get your camp set up, and then go to the show, go back to camp, sleep it off. And if I'm not mistaken, if I remember right, the Gorge campsite had, like, a late checkout time. Where most of the time it's like 10 a.m. I think it was like 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, because I knew everyone was fucking, yeah.
But, and then actually, mutual friend of ours, Miss Twinkie, is the one who introduced me to the Campsite Advantage. And at the time, it was free. And so that's where we would camp. And it's only 20 minutes to the Gorge from there, which it was a 20-minute walk from the Gorge campsite to the, you know, the amphitheater.
Yeah.
So it was no different. And we would, shit, we would go and camp there and go to the concerts. Or we would look at the concert lineup and go, who do we want to fucking party with? Oh, Motley Crue's playing the Flying Fucking Circus Tour, whatever the hell that was called. We want to party with some old fucking cokeheads. That's who we want to party with. So we went and stayed the weekend advantage to party with those guys. Oh, Britney
Spears.
Didn't
even go to the concert, just point party.
Yeah. Oh, Britney Spears is coming. You know, let's go party with them. We, you know, we would totally look at the concerts and pick who we wanted to fucking party with. And there was a few times, actually, that Flying Circus Tour, some people were there and go, our buddies didn't show up. Do you guys want these two tickets? And gave them to us.
Nice.
So we got to see that. And then there was Radiohead. Like, we just went and sat in the parking lot and listened to the concert on mushrooms. But, you know, and so there was times we did that, too, where we were just like, fuck it, you know. All it cost us was gas money. Camping was free, you know. So we had a good time. And, yeah, Twinkie introduced me to that campsite. Now that campsite's like a legit, used to just be all sand beach dunes.
Yeah.
And now it's got tent pads and it's $15 a night or something.
Yeah. Wow.
Not bad, but they do have bathrooms, which they didn't have before. You shit, you found the three bushes that were along the Columbia there, and that's where you shit.
Yeah, shit in the bushes. Yeah, no, Twinkie, I did a lot of. Twinkie lived right down the street from me, so I grew up pretty much with her being like a sister to me. So,
yeah. And I knew her from school, but I got in with Twink in college. We were both at KGRG together.
Yeah.
So, and of course, her beau, Mr. Craig, like I knew him real well.
I've actually never met him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, unless, I mean, he didn't go to school with us, did he?
No, he went to Auburn. No.
Okay, yeah, I've never met him.
Yep, I got in, I was real good friends with Craig. Craig did the afternoon show at KGRG, Chris and Craig, and then me and Tiny did the morning show. And we were both similar style shock jocks, in quotation marks there.
Shock jock.
Actually, I'm not going to say it's Chris and Craig's fault that that I got booted off there, but it's why my punishment was harsher. They got busted like 2 weeks before me having two girls up in the studio make out, And they were both, I think, seniors in high school, but one was 17 or something. And they got suspended 2 weeks. And then we pulled some shit 2 weeks later, and we got booted off the air.
Nice.
I actually got banned from the school for life.
Well, that's not good.
No. No, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's always a good story to tell. For another episode.
Yeah. That would be a fun one to tell. Yeah, no, I talked to her. I haven't talked to Twink in a while. Every once in a while I'll run into her. But, I mean, because like I said, we grew up just around the corner from each other. I think the last time I saw her was at a friend's house. And Amber about had a heart attack because she, like, ran across the yard and tackled me. Just, like, jumped on me and tackled me. And Amber was like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh, that's just Jules. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I still at times, like, I have to stop and think to get her a real name.
Oh, yeah. I just always knew it was Jules.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like I said, I mean, I grew up with her and Lindsay and Jamie, her sisters.
Well, Lindsay and Vi were really good, not best friends, yeah, but really good friends growing up.
Yeah, I mean, they just lived down the street. Because I can remember when her mom died, she came straight to my house.
Yeah.
Like, the first place that Jules went was straight to my house.
Yeah, I've always been a huge Twink fan.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing. She's awesome.
Yeah. And Craig. I love Craig. Craig is awesome, too.
Like I said, I haven't met him, but, I mean, you know, he sounds like he's a really good guy, so.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. I like Craig, so. Oh, good times. So, yeah, we did go camping this weekend, though. A little Memorial Day camping. I hate my dog. Let's just start there. He, well, as you know, doesn't like people.
No.
He's got social anxiety like a motherfucker. So last year we took him camping. He didn't piss or shit the whole time we were there.
Well, that's got to be just bad.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's not good for the puppy's body.
So we went through that this time, and he ended up getting a hot spot on his belly right down by his junk. So then, you know, we ended up taking him to a grass park where I think he needs grass because he's a bitch.
Yeah.
And he did poop and pee there.
He is your dog. And they say they take after their owner.
But he just sucks. Like, if we would have had Copper, so we're sitting there and I'm scrolling the phone, Friday night, sitting at camp. And Moses Lake has their big Memorial Day hoopla.
Yeah.
And they had free concerts there. Well, Friday night, and neither one of these would probably interest you all that much, but Friday night, they had Montel Jordan and Tone Loke. And it's free.
Tone Loke would be fun.
Yeah, free. But because we had this dumb dog, we couldn't go. And then Saturday, they had two bands, but I'd never heard of either one of them. And then Sunday, they had fucking Vanilla Ice.
Oh, man. And it's one of those, when I was younger, if you would have told me Vanilla Ice, I'd be like, fuck off, no way. Fucking guy would annoy the shit out of me. But now I'd go see him. Just for fun. Just for the nostalgia.
So we saw him and Tone Loke together in 2019 at the Puyallup Fair 90s mixtape tour, or whatever it was called. I Love the 90s, or,
yeah,
you know, something like that. But this would have been a show by himself.
That would be interesting.
Which would have been awesome. Then maybe I could have got, you know, fucking gems like What It's Like Having a Roni. You don't even know, do you? Yeah.
No, I don't. I, like I said, I wasn't a big... My brother loved Vanilla Ice, and it drove me nuts because he didn't listen to anything but the one fucking song. And we all know what song it is, over and over and... Like, to the point that I can remember one time, I literally was climbing out the window of his car while he was driving down Highway 18, like, I'm going to fucking jump if you don't turn this off.
But I'm telling you, like, this is what we were missing in our life. A commercial. We were missing a fucking commercial.
Always missing commercials.
Oh, assholes.
I did go to the movies this weekend.
Did you go see The Machine?
I did.
Well, hold on. We'll get into that, but we got to have some.
I did see Fast 10.
We got to have some What It's Like Having a Roni.
What it's like having a roni.
That's the whole song for like 2 minutes. That's all it does.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. If I could never get that live, I would fucking die. And that's on the one album he has. You know. And then.
Meaning he had more than one song?
Well, he had two hits, right?
What was his other one?
Played that funky music, White Boy?
Yeah, that's right.
Right? And then we have this fucking gem. Oh, how many people remember he put out a heavy metal CD? Here's what's even worse. I used to have that. I used to own that fucking thing. But yeah, that would have been cool to be, especially free.
Doesn't surprise me that you own that CD.
I'm a vast hole of musical knowledge. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Like, I liked Vanilla Ice when Vanilla Ice came out in 1990. That album has not changed one lick.
No.
I simply enjoy it for the pure entertainment value. Like, I didn't look at Vanilla Ice and go, oh my God, he's so deep. Like, he's talking to me. You know?
Yeah, no.
No. Now, has music done that to me? Absolutely. But when I listen
There has been music that I've listened to have done that, but...
But when I listen to Vanilla Ice or New Kids on the Block or, you know, no. They spark great memories from childhood, and the music's not changed. It's what I like.
And it's one of those things, because I'll be honest, like, for the other show that I do where we're investigating, like, the Kurt Cobain, like, suicide, whatever. But it cracks me up how many people, like, their music was so deep, and he was so, and I'm like, were we listening to the same fucking shit? See, there's certain things that, like, people that I just don't see as deep. I mean, it's...
So I get it to an extent with Kurt, but I think I get it more in his delivery of it than the actual lyrics itself, right? The way that he was able to express the hurt and pain that the 90s grunge era was feeling was pretty, like, I get the connection.
Yeah.
Now, if you wrote down the majority of those lyrics on a piece of paper as a poem and handed it to somebody, it probably wouldn't have near the same effect.
No, and he did. I mean, he did put some stuff into the music, stuff like that. And I mean, I'll be honest, I've never, and you know this, I've never been a huge Nirvana fan, but honestly, doing some of the research into, you know, what, like, led up to his suicide and him dying from suicide, I do see more of him than I ever thought I did. I kind of thought of him as kind of a, I mean, not to sound bad, a schmuck, but, I mean, I do see more of the person that was there, and I don't think he was as much of a fucktard as I thought he was.
I've never thought that.
I wasn't a big fan, because, like, we've had the conversation before where I think what it is, I had a problem because when Nirvana hit, Seattle music went from being this huge mishmash of everything, and we've talked about this, to everybody trying to be Nirvana. And I always equated them to the death of, like, Seattle music.
Yeah, but
a rebirth of a different type of music. And it bugged me.
But
forever.
I put the blame on the music industry for that, not Nirvana.
After listening to a lot of the stuff and researching it, they just happened to be the band that the music industry picked.
Yep.
You know, and that's really it. So it's not really, I put a lot of blame on them when that blame really should have been on the music industry.
Yeah. I mean, and by all accounts, when you talk, when you see interviews with Kurt or talk to, or you see interviews with people who knew Kurt and talked about it, Kurt didn't even want it. Like, it wasn't,
no, he didn't want anything.
It wasn't like something he pushed for.
He just wanted to play music. He just wanted to enjoy himself.
I think he would have been 100% happier if he would have simply stayed on, what fucking was that first label that put out Incesticide?
I don't remember.
Before he went to, fuck, it was a local fucking label, but.
Spot or Spot? Blah, 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 blah. Sub Pop?
Yes. I think it was Sub Pop that put out Incesticide. And then he was picked up by Geffen for Nevermind. But I think he would have been perfectly happy where.
Wasn't Bleach first? It was Bleach and then Nevermind.
Sorry, Incesticide's off of Bleach. It's the one song that got radio play off of the Bleach album.
So wait, the first album was Bleach.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, and I think that's one of the things that I really enjoy, honestly, about getting, in some ways, doing research on some of this stuff, is I'm not one of those people that's so stuck in the way that I think, where I'm like, oh, no, fuck them, they're assholes. The more I do research, I'm like, okay, really, they were just a bunch of kids having fun, and then the music industry used them as to catapult Seattle into the music industry and catapult all of that stuff.
Yeah. No, and that is, to me, 100% more accurate. And I think, like, the big difference, right, when you see, let's just compare that band with Pearl Jam, right, where they came up and got the huge push, right? They're the ones that were handpicked and, like, you're going to be the face of this movement. And they didn't necessarily want it, but didn't stop it from happening. Where Pearl Jam was like, we're going to use you. You're going to be our whores. We're going to make all this money off you. And I think after 10, or was the album called 10 or Verses?
It was 10. I think. Yeah.
After 10, they were like, no, you're not doing this to us anymore. Where Kurt took the quote unquote easy way out, he let it destroy him mentally, you know, and instead of stopping it from a physical standpoint, he stopped him from having to go through it. Where Pearl Jam just said, fuck you. We're going to do our own thing. Fuck Ticketmaster. Fuck MTV. Fuck, you know, everything. And I think that's why a lot of people who might not have been Pearl Jam fans, similar to you looking back through the Nirvana stuff and going, I still may not like their music, but I don't have the lack of respect I had for them. Yeah. Right? Where people were
And it was, I never really minded. I'll listen to the music. It's kind of like some of the other bands we've talked about where I'm not going to go out and buy their music, but I'm not going to change the channel when it comes on. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're listenable, but.
Yeah. I've never, like, hated them. I hated their music. I just wasn't a big fan of them as people because most of the things that I learned growing up was how they were these, you know, sellout, blah, 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 everything else. And then once you do research, it's like, no, the music industry just played. You know, if anybody was the sellout, it was Courtney forcing, you know, them to be sellouts.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about it, the year before Nevermind came out, you know where Nirvana was? Green River Community College playing the fucking benefit show as the opening act.
Yeah.
To Mudhoney.
I love Mudhoney.
So, yeah. No, I just kind of, you know, I don't know. I like all three of the members. I like all four of the members of that band from after they picked up Pat Smear. Like, I think I love Pat Smear.
Yeah.
I love Dave Grohl.
He's awesome.
I think everything Dave has done has been right. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think Dave rode the Nirvana coattails like he could have. You know, I think he was truly devastated from what happened.
I think they all were, and it was one of those things, but I do. There's a lot of evidence that they were in the process of breaking up.
Yeah, and they might have been.
Like the band was. But it was one of those things. I mean, it's that happens with bands, you know. But I mean, it was one of those things. I mean, they were all devastated when he died. I mean, it's amazing to see.
But it could have been an amicable split, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kurt needed help. You know, it wasn't long before his suicide that he had that almost OD death in Rome. You know, it was just a month or two before. So it could have been Kurt needed help. He had Francis Bean. By all accounts, he wanted to be a father. You know,
there's a lot of stuff in there where it's, I think it's one of those things when you see celebrities, we see them all as one sided until you see and actually research and find out more about who they were behind the scenes. And I mean, he, you know, he just seemed like a junkie. I mean, in all reality, he was a junkie that played the guitar.
Yeah.
But once you like, you know, stop. Like, you put a personal touch to it and actually, like, learn some of the shit that he went through in life and all that kind of stuff. You're like, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I kind of see it now.
And
I still feel like that he woke up one day and realized he's married to, you know, Courtney Love, and that was it.
Well, that could be, too. And I'm a big fan of Chris Novoselic.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's one of those things, too, and I know a lot of people, I think we've mentioned this before, I actually like Hole's music.
I like Hole's music.
I have a lot of people that are like, you, how could you? I'm like, have you ever actually listened to it? It's actually decent music.
I lie. I love Live Through This. Live Through This, but again, right, that is pre-Getting Big or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was pre-I'm Married to Kurt Cobain. I need to...
Well, here's the... You know that she made Kurt sign a prenup.
Well, yeah.
Because she always thought she was going to be bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then that Malibu album definitely went commercial. Celebrity Skin, I think, is what the album was called.
Yeah.
Went commercial. There's a couple good songs on it, but Hole Live Through This, I can listen to that album forward to backward to forward, over and over.
Yeah.
Great songs on that album. Hole Live, most violent show I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah.
They opened for Marilyn Manson. And I can tell you right now, there wasn't a person in that crowd at Key Arena that wanted to see Hole. And so when Hole came out and played, it was the most violent mosh pit I have ever been a part of in my life.
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
If you got knocked down, nobody was picking you the fuck up. They were curb stomping you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was brutal. If they saw your mouth moving to the whole song, fuck, you were in for it. Brace yourself. And then Manson kicked him off tour the next show.
Hmm. Yeah. I want to say, I've seen Nirvana. I saw Nirvana live once. But it was funny, too. I wasn't there to see Nirvana. I was there to see Helmet.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's definitely one of those things. That's what's... So one thing I do like about doing that show sometimes, every once in a while we research something, I'm like, this is actually fascinating. Other times I'm like, this is fucked up.
Yeah. Well, I love biographical history.
Yes. And that's where I do a lot of that, where I like going down, like... Joan of Arc, stuff like that, where it's just fun to like figure out like what the truth is behind the myths that we've all heard.
Yeah, and I love history, like in that regard, but I'm not 100% sure from 1979 to 2023 that any of that can be construed as 100% fact. When you're talking about Joan of Arc 1,400 years before, in any type of records or paperwork you may have found, are not written in a language that's easily translated today.
Well, technically, all the ones from Joan of Arc were written in French.
And the French dialect hasn't changed in 1,400 years?
Probably a little bit. I mean, here and there, but French English, because it was... The whole trial was all in English. That's where most of the stuff comes from, is the trial.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I'm not sure, you know.
But it's just fun to see, and that's the hard part on a lot of that, where you have to be like, you have to look at it with a grain of salt and say, okay, from what we can get,
it's a build-your-own conclusion.
Yes. But it's interesting just to see, because we have these huge mythologies built around these people, and then it's like, okay, well, really, this is the stuff that actually, like, is written down in history is happening. This is the stuff that was added, you know, for storytelling purposes.
Yeah. It's kind of a battle, and I've done, I think, fairly well with it, that I have with myself now, right? When you get all these different aspects that weren't taught to us in school with Black history.
Yes.
Right? We definitely had the whitewashed version of history.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we weren't necessarily even taught about Columbus wiping out tribe after tribe.
Wait, what? Columbus wasn't a great fucking human being?
Yeah, but, you know, and so...
Yeah, no, I get it, yeah. I mean, and that is one of those ones. I've seen that a couple of times where people are like, oh, Columbus. And then you, like, actually look up the history and you're like, oh, fuck. Like, he was kidnapped people, brought them back, did all these fucking things and, like, wiped out entire tribes. And you're like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, and, you know, that natural part in your brain goes, fuck you, you're making it up. That's not what was in my history book.
Yeah.
And then you start to look past your history book or just common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we know that there were Native Americans here because that was in our history book.
Yeah.
We know that, and it's still talked about today, that they were the first people on this land, blah, 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 blah. Where'd they all go? Okay, now common sense tells me you may be onto something. I don't know if what you're saying is 100% accurate, but now I can do my own research past my history book.
Yes, and that is one of the one things, because I did do one of the things I was doing research on that, like, you know, they talk about, like, the Native Americans, and no one talks about this, that before 1492, when Columbus got here, there's estimated there were 60 million Native Americans.
Ooh.
And 10 years after that, after he came, it was, well, within like 100 years after him being there, but within the, about 100 years after that, it was 6 million.
Wow.
So it's kind of one of those things where, like, we weren't taught that in school. That,
no.
You know, they wiped out. I mean, they literally decimated the population.
No, you got a little bit. I vaguely remember a little bit of, like, the smallpox blankets from the Mayflower ship and, you know, that part. But I don't recall any of the slaughtering Columbus did.
Oh, no, the slaughtering and just, you know, people getting sick just because we had diseases they'd never been exposed to. It's like one of the things a lot of people don't realize, too, like a lot of the Indian or Native American reservations around here, the Lummi Nation, for one. I was up there a month ago. They're still wearing masks.
Yeah.
In the Lummi Nation, because they got hit very hard by COVID, you know, and stuff like that. So it's very interesting to see some of that stuff. Like, and look at the history of how, like, I mean, that's pretty much how the white man wiped out, you know, 90% of the Native American population.
Yeah.
It was just disease. We'd show up and say hi, shake their hand, and next thing you know, freaking 90% of them are dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we just gave them all our diseases.
It's crazy to think about what our history books taught.
Mm-hmm.
And to not even necessarily get political, but it's crazy to think that we don't want more of the truth in schools.
And that's what bothers me a lot. There's a lot of things, like, in doing this show with Big D, where I've done research on things. I'm like, why in the hell didn't we learn this?
Yeah.
You know, why didn't we learn about Black Tom Island, the biggest, like, terrorist attack on the U.S. prior to World War II?
Or Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
Like,
because Black Tom Island, where they blew up and basically blew up an ammunitions depot in the middle of New York Harbor and damaged the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I'm 44 years old, never knew that right now.
No, I didn't know. I found it on accident while I was looking at something else, and I'm like, what the fuck is Black Tom Island?
I wonder if that's where Black Tom from Marvel comes from.
Maybe. But yeah, they blew up. It was an ammunition depot that blew up and damaged. It's why we can't go into the torch, because that part of it got damaged when Black Tom Island blew up.
Yeah.
So
I did not know that, but again,
yeah, it's one of those random things you run into, and you're like, "What?" Yeah,
we were never taught about again, Black Wall Street.
Yep, no.
There was very little on the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. The only thing you got, you didn't get a whole lot of Malcolm X.
No,
you caught him in passing, but not the story of Malcolm.
We got a quick overview of MLK, like, and it was an overview. It wasn't like, he did the Million Man March and they shot him.
It was the highlight. Here's the I Have a Dream speech.
Yep.
And he was assassinated because, and it basically was worded as, some Americans still didn't like Black people. Yeah. You know.
Well, and it's one of those things, because remember the time we had Special K on the show, and we were talking about this, and we're like, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It's like your grandparents would have been part. Biden was part of, you know, the whole thing when the kids, you know, they unsegregated the school.
The lady who got Emmett Till lynched just died last week.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
It's like, this isn't so far away. It's not like, oh, this was our aunt, great-great-great-great-grandparent. No, this was your grandparents.
Yeah. To me, me and you are parents.
Yeah. I could see my dad being a racist bastard.
I actually struggle. And my dad always said some shit that in today's world would...
Oh, yeah.
But never once, like in public, never... It sounds like I'm making excuses for him, but, and he had, I can't say anything without it sounding just every fucking bad cliche.
It is tough to say. I mean, my dad, there's just some things that I don't remember him saying when I was a kid, but like in the last 5 or 10 years, there's a few things that he said and I'm just like, did you really just fucking say that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, holy, I don't remember you being a racist, but I mean, you are Mormon. So, I mean, that's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to think the stuff that, you know, talking to the girls and every night, like I said numerous times, we go through their day.
Yeah.
And they go through each class and what they're, you know, what they did that day in class and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, 9/11 somewhat taught. And the only other attack on American soil that's taught, well, two, I guess, Pearl Harbor. But they only study that on December 7th. Which was similar to us, and Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and I'll say the thing, it sounds bad to say, the first thing I really learned about Pearl Harbor was from the stupid movie.
Yeah.
You know, and my grandfather served on the Arizona.
Yeah. Now, we lived Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
We lived 9/11. We mm-hmm. also lived Waco, which isn't talked about. In history books.
Which that one's fucked. The FBI fucked that up big time.
Well.
The FBI and the ATF, they fucked that up big time.
Not saying they didn't, but we don't learn that in school history.
And that was, what's her name? Oh, the freaking, I can't remember. It's someone that was big in politics for a while. It was her big fuck up. So.
But. The old saying, I truly believe, right? If you don't learn from your past, you're doomed to repeat it.
Exactly.
Well, if you don't know your fucking past, you're doomed to repeat it. Like, you know, because you can't learn from that mistake. I don't think when they're talking about teaching this stuff in school and the people that are against it, I don't think it's saying, you know, we're bad today. It was, we were horrible here at this particular moment. We were horrible in this particular moment, but now it's 2023. Let's be better moving forward.
And I think that's it, where a lot of people don't want to talk about it because they don't want to admit the horrible things that our ancestors did, but it's like, we have to. I mean, but the hard part I have too is I don't feel like you or I should be punished for the stupid shit our ancestors did, because that's not what we did. We didn't do it. Our ancestors did. But we need to know so that we can learn from it. You know, we need to learn so that it doesn't happen again. So there isn't, you know, any of the horrible crimes that happened to different people and everything else, because our government sucked.
The government still sucks. Let's not.
It does.
Let's not.
But
kid
I mean,
ourselves.
it's but have that whole idea that we need to learn from it so we don't do it again, you know, because I feel like a lot of times when you're talking to kids, I mean, they don't remember any of this. I can remember the first time we went down to Texas and we told Zoe we're going to go to the Alamo. And she's like, why would you go to the rental car place? I'm like, no, the fucking Alamo. You know, remember the Alamo. She's like, yeah, the rental car place. I'm like, fucking
see,
God,
but that was
it.
Also taught basically in urban legend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
what the fuck?
You study the Civil War almost every grade. Just, you know, you get a little more in depth, It wasn't until Glory came out that it was ever taught there was a black regiment.
No.
You know. And then it was just North for South over slavery. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't recall it ever being over states' rights, so I'll give credit where credit's due on that, where the argument is always like, oh, it was over states' rights, you know.
And the thing that's tough about it is it was over slavery, but, I mean, if you really do research on it, slavery was one point.
Yeah.
In all reality, and it sounds bad to say this, the North wasn't really just trying to stop slavery. They were trying to stop some other shit, too. But slavery was just what everyone remembers, which it should have been stopped. There should have been a war to stop slavery, but there was more to it than just because it sounds bad. But I think if it was just slavery, the war never would have happened. There was more to it that brought it in. But
you're probably right.
Yeah.
So.
Because the only reason I know that because I had to do the history classes when I was going to college, and that was one of the huge parts was all of that happened, like after the Jim Crow laws and all those shit that was just fucking like almost as bad as slavery, but oh, it wasn't slavery.
Yeah,
it was just slavery under a different name. It's like, we're gonna pay you, but we're only gonna give you like a buck a day, so it's not slavery because we're paying you, but we're not gonna pay you enough to do shit.
Yeah. Nope. It's crazy. Like I said, it's crazy to think about. It's I try to, as a parent, inform my kids that there's more information out there.
And that's one thing. I mean, we have more information at our fingertips right now than ever.
Yeah.
The hard part is weeding through the bullshit.
Yeah, because there's more of that than ever, too.
Because every once in a while I go to research something and I get into, like, you know, somehow end up on like the Q page or whatever, and I'm like, God, you people are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Where it's like I post something the other day, like, you know, sometimes you go down a rabbit hole and start to get out, and someone's like, oh, you're one of those Q people. I said rabbit hole, not shit. Well, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, no, fuck you.
Yeah, I try to make sure I look at that website, and if it's not one I'm familiar with, whether and familiar good or bad, right? Because yeah. I'll read some of the bad ones, knowing like I got to see. To make a clarification on what I believe or, you know, to help justify the facts I'm reading. Sometimes you got to read the bullshit and just see how far-fetched it was. But then you get some of them that are just so far. So I always read the website. It's not what I notice. I'll type that website in and get the rating of where that stands factually.
And there are funny ones because, like, you know, a lot of people, when you say you do anything conspiracy, they're like, oh, like Alex Jones. I'm like, no, fuck Alex Jones. Alex Jones is the one, like, almost 90% of what Alex Jones talks about, there's some basis of truth. But he's jumped the shark so far, you're like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like when he goes to, you know, turning the frogs gay, there actually is some, like, scientific evidence that they were, like, not gay, but, you know, because it's pretty much goes back to Jurassic Park where they forgot frogs can switch genders.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like it was some weird thing with the chemicals, but it's like you make it just sound stupid when you start screaming about gay frogs, dude. Shut up. It's like you make the rest of us look bad. Shut the fuck up.
I bet you gay frogs can hop on a dick better than anybody.
Probably. I mean, every time I think it, I just think of the horrible things that Kermit was probably doing that little frog that was always there.
Why do you think Kermit was always happy with a hand up his ass?
Probably.
It's not easy being green and stretched out. that's his new song. Fuck. All right, tell me about the machine.
It's one of, and I'll tell you this: there's a lot of comedians. I've seen a few comedians just totally shitting on it and everything else, and a few other people that, you know, like are critics, whatever, like shitting on it. If you're going into this expecting like an Oscar-worthy movie, you're a fucking moron. Go into this with like the idea of
Cocaine Bear.
Yes, Cocaine Bear, Hangover, completely fucking stupid ass movie, but funny. I was cracking up to the whole movie. I mean, Mark Hamill's character just had me fucking laughing the whole time. I mean,
he's
just
Bert's
the way
dad,
he's,
right?
Yeah, he plays his dad.
Yeah,
and just he is like, it's like I told. It's, he reminds me of my mom. Like, no matter what fucking Bert does, it's not fucking good enough. You know, and just everything he does, it's not good enough. I mean, he's a total ass. There's a whole part where, like, Mark Hamill's fucking high on coke and just cracked me. I mean, it's just one of those things you're watching. It's like, this is the stupidest shit I've ever seen, but I couldn't stop laughing.
Good, I'm in.
So I loved it. I loved it.
I'm in. Speaking of stupid shit, and you, I think you'll like it. And it's tough to play because it's more of a visual. Have mm-hmm. you seen any of the clips from this year's British Got Talent?
No.
Which, by the way, I still stand is fucking 10 times better than America's Got Talent.
I'm just happy. America's Got Talent, I want to watch because I think it didn't come out last night.
I think
so. Or
is
it tonight? And I want to watch it because they got freaking, they got Steel Panther on there.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, what other fucking song are they going to play besides the one they play? Steel Panther is the most R-rated fucking rock band. I mean, one of their songs is Coming in the Back Door, and by Coming in the Back Door they're talking about fucking a chick in the ass. I mean,
oh, I know Steel Panther, trust me,
I love Steel Panther, but I'm like, what other song besides that one can they play on the fucking on TV?
They're one of my works bands.
Oh yeah,
yeah, we've had them at lots of events. Yeah. So there's a guy named Viggo Venn from Norway on there. And he's a, I use the term very loosely. I shouldn't use it because it's a form of it, but he's a stand-up comic. But it's not, let me tell you, jokes, stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I guess similarly to a type of comedy as Tape Face. And he plays Daft Punk's One More Time. And he just has fucking safety vest on. And he'll cut the music off, and everybody's kind of looking, and then he'll rip that one off, and he'll have another one on, and the song will kick back on, and he starts dancing around. It's fucking, okay. I can't get enough of it. It's fucking hilarious. And then two nights ago, I think, he was on the semifinals. By the way, Simon fucking hated him. Simon red X'd him.
I could see that.
And the other three judges voted him in. And he's won every call-in poll, and now he's in the grand championship as the overall vote-getter for the whole competition. But the one they showed last night, he's doing a My Name Is, Eminem, and he's got like a looper, and then he'll put the mic in front of one of the judges' faces. And they got a new judge this year. David Walliams is gone, and they have a guy named Bruno. He can't get it fucking right. It's fucking hilarious. The first time, he puts the mic in front of his face expecting him to say Bruno, and he says, my name is Viggo. And he's like, no, no, no. My name's Viggo. You're Bruno, the new guy. Like, it's just fucking hilarious. And then he gets to Simon, and Simon just goes, cow. And he puts it on repeat, and he just keeps lip-syncing it, doing these fucking, oh, dude, it's fucking hilarious. And then he's like, so Simon, should I do like one more? And all of a sudden Simon catches on. He's like, no. And he breaks off into the One More Time dance thing again. And this time the entire fucking audience has yellow safety vest on. And you really got to see it, but it's fucking hilarious.
I'm going to have to look that one up.
It's fucking hilarious and nonsensical, fucking stupid. But right along the lines of like a Mr. Bean and, you know, so many of those Tape Face, European style, just nonsense. Like, I don't have to tell dirty jokes to get people to laugh. Like,
yeah,
here's just me being a fucking goof. Yeah, I love it.
Mm.
I mean, honestly, check it out. I know you being a fan of British humor.
I love British humor. You know that.
Shit like yeah. that. Yeah. It's just funny.
I have to look at that one.
Me and
that
Ray were awesome. Fucking dying last night laughing.
That one looks good. I want to look at that one.
I don't know how the driest personality in my family loves stupid comedy with me. But
it's good to have that. I mean, that's like the hard part that I have is like Benton was the one who loved. And I think that's the hardest part. I mean, hold on to that, because then when the fucking kid moves out, now all of a sudden you're stuck with Tosh, who has no freaking, you know, dry humor love. So that's my problem right now. I can't, if I want to watch anything with a fucked up dry humor, I have to fucking like go do it by myself when Amber's not around. It's kind of like sex. If I want to do it, I have to do it alone.
You don't care if she's not around, though, that time.
I've got to do it alone. I mean, it's just fuck.
She's learned to sleep through the motion.
She has, pretty much. She has.
Oh, too much, man. Too much. All right, sir. Well, we were talking earlier. You got comedy back to back next week.
I do. So Wednesday, of course, is at Cole Street. And Cole Street this time, headliner is going to be Ashley Russian. Features Frederick White, and it's going to be hosted by Lisa Rimmert. So, and that's Wednesday, June 7th. And then on Thursday, June 8th, we've got headliner Justin Hayes, feature Andy Vargo, and hosted by Phil Klinger at the Element Firehouse.
There you go.
So should be both, you know, some pretty fun shows, both of them.
Perfect. $10 at Cole Street, free at the Firehouse.
Free at the Firehouse.
So, and I will vouch for the food, although I was disappointed that... there was only one kind of taco to get.
They used to have the tacos every Thursday, but I don't think they were selling enough, so they kind of went back to the normal menu. So then they'll have usually like one type of taco. It's the like Thursday special.
Yeah, and it was some type of prawn taco, which just sounds good, but didn't sound
I've
good to
it.
Me that night.
They I've
looked
had,
great
really
when they came out on Amber's plate, but
yeah. So, and the spicy cheese curds, that's the other thing we get all the time, and I fucking love those. It's so good.
Yeah.
So.
All right, guys. We'll be able to make sure to check those shows out next week. Hopefully, no holiday next Monday, so we should be back to a normal day, and then we will work out what, if anything, we'll do for the following week when I'm in L.A., but we'll see how it all goes.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. With all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.